And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take this week's poll. It's up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. Real simple question, yes, no question. I ask you, are you going to be looking for a new job in 2012? Go up to brainstormingonline.com, take the poll, and I'll announce the results of the poll on next Thursday's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is California. Each of my guests is emblematic of the Golden State. My next guest is a political commentator and son of the former California governor and former president, Ronald Reagan. We'll discuss the Iowa caucuses and the upcoming GOP debates. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Michael Reagan is the son of former President Ronald Reagan and Academy Award-winning actress Jane Wyman. He's authored many successful books, including the bestseller autobiography On the Outside Looking In and The Common Sense of an Uncommon Man, The Wit, Wisdom, and Eternal Optimism of Ronald Reagan, which is an outstanding book. His latest book is titled Twice Adopted, and it's based on his personal story. Mike is a popular national speaker on issues related to conservative politics, adoption, and life lessons he's learned from his father and mother. Michael hosted a live radio show for over 26 years and was the first nationally syndicated long-form political talk show presented by Premier Radio Networks. Mike is also the founder and chairman of the Reagan Group. All of its activities are brought together underneath its website, www.reagan.com. The Atlas Economic and Research Foundation honored Mike as the first Templeton Leadership Fellow for 2009 and 2010. Mike's been married for over 35 years and has two adult children. Joining us from Southern California, hi, Mike, how are you doing today?
Wow, I've done all that?
You've done all of that and more. So thank you for being my guest.
Just to remind you, the new Reagan Revolution, which was hardcover last year, comes out in paperback the end of January. So the paperback edition of the new Reagan Revolution comes out end of January, January 31st. So we're looking forward to that.
Excellent. Yes, we will all be looking for that on bookstores and on Amazon everywhere. Listen, I want to jump into it to set the stage for our discussion about the GOP primaries, if I can. And I want to start with one of the two very gripping stories that you tell. This story is about your father. He was asked to write a letter to be placed in a time capsule to be read on the 300th birthday of the United States. Please tell us that story. And the reason I'm asking you to do this is because it has significance for the upcoming 2012 presidential election cycle.
Well, back in 1976, when my father lost the nomination to Gerald Ford in Kansas City, at the end of the evening, Gerald Ford got done speaking. He asked my father to come down and address the convention hall and, of course, those watching on television around the United States. And my father had not written anything down. He didn't know what he was going to write. In fact, he says to Nancy on the way down, he says, "Gosh, I have nothing prepared," and she touches his arm and says, "Oh, you'll think of something." and so he steps before the microphone, and he talks about, first of all, the bold colors of the speech that we just heard from the President of the United States, Gerald Ford. But he said something else. He talked about being asked to write this letter to be put into a time capsule that would be opened on the 300th anniversary of the United States. And he said, what a daunting task to asked to be write a letter to a people who would know everything about us, but we would know nothing of them. And he thought, what do I write about? He said, do I write about nuclear proliferation? But won't they know if we used nuclear weapons or not? And then he said, do I write about freedom, knowing that if we do not make the right decisions today, those who live on the 300th anniversary of the United States of America may very well not even have the freedom to open up the time capsule to read what I have put into that time capsule, and how very important it is that the decisions we make today, we must know that they're going to affect the people who live on the 300th anniversary. And that's how important he felt that election was of 1976. And I would venture to say today that it's even more important in this election than it was in the election of 1976.
Well, particularly from the perspective of freedom, personal freedoms, and everything that we embrace as part of American exceptionalism. So let's get into the race, if we can, Mike, for just a minute. The 2012 presidential race, it's in full swing. The Iowa caucuses are behind us in the rearview mirror now. Let's take a look at the GOP candidates' race as we see it today. Mitt Romney eked out an vote victory over Rick Santorum in Iowa. So what is that telling us? Is that telling us that we had two winners in Iowa or that we had no winners in Iowa? And well, is it telling us that 75% of the people don't like Mitt Romney as the front runner?
But they didn't like Mitt Romney, you know, 4 years ago. I mean, Mitt Romney has not grown at all in 4 years of campaigning. He's never stopped campaigning for the presidency. And here he is getting the same amount or even a lesser amount of the vote, you know, in this year than he got back in 2008 against Mike Huckabee. So that would concern you if you're, in fact, Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney's problem is that Mitt Romney can relate to the guy who owns the water cooler. He doesn't relate to the guy who's taking water from it.
Hmm.
And he's got to be able to relate to the normal, everyday guy if indeed he wants to win the presidency of the United States of America. Santorum, you know, worked that room as well or better than anybody else out there and was almost the last conservative standing because nothing had been said negative against him at all. And in Iowa, the big issue in Iowa is the Christian community, is the evangelicals. Those are the ones who voted for Mike Huckabee, and ultimately those are the ones that voted for Rick Santorum. Not the same going up to New Hampshire than is in Iowa.
No, that's true. And we'll talk about New Hampshire in just a minute, Mike, but I want to come back to the evangelical vote, if we can, for just a minute, because in the previous election cycle, Huckabee got that evangelical vote entirely. And if you looked at the map, it was a two-horse race. It was Romney and it was Huckabee. This time around, we had the wild card of Ron Paul, and Ron Paul actually drew from Rick Santorum more than he drew from Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney got, as you say, exactly the same percentage of votes as he did this year as he did 4 years ago. So what does that say about the evangelicals in Iowa, and what does that say about the Republican Party right now?
Well, you might remember that, you know, Rick Santorum got the endorsement of the top evangelical. He didn't get the endorsement of the whole community. So they went all kinds of different directions. And to be honest with you, nobody's really happy right now with the choices. I mean, they're, I don't know what they're looking for, but, you know, this is who's running. And so it's split. You've got the Ron Paul people are the Ron Paul people. They're going to be with him through thick and through thin from now and forever and for always. They always have been. That's just a fact of life. One of the problems the conservatives have, and I say this in my book when I go out and speak, is, you know, liberals are led by ideology. That's all they're led by, ideology. Conservatives are always looking for the leader, someone who espouses their ideology they can get behind and follow. And if that person isn't there, then they seem to be all over the map. And so you've got the social conservatives, you've got the economic conservatives, you've got, you know, all these little fiefdoms that have been set up and all these little purity tests have been set up and what have you. And that really dilutes, you know, the vote. And so you have somebody like Mitt Romney, or take 2008, John McCain, who ultimately wins the nomination. And conservatives go nuts and say, well, he was the establishment candidate, and that's why he was there, so we're going to stay home. And the reality was, it wasn't the case he was the establishment candidate, and he might well have been. But when you have five conservatives running in a caucus, the fact is they're going to split the vote.
Hmm.
And if Mitt Romney has nobody to split the vote with, he ends up winning with 25%, as he did in Iowa the other night. Think about it. I mean, the fact that Michelle Bachmann should have been out a long time ago. She wasn't going anywhere. And then Michelle Bachmann vote ventures they would end up with Rick Santorum and or Rick Perry. But it wouldn't have gone to, you know, to Ron Paul. And just nine people changing their minds would have made Rick Santorum the winner in Iowa. Seems conservatives never want to, you know, say, hey, we got to pick our horse and get on our horse and ride our horse. They want to be split all over the map. And you had that 2008. You had Dan Credo, you had Mike Huckabee, you know, go through the list of everybody trying to be more Reagan than Reagan. And now you've got the same thing again.
All right. My guest is Mike Reagan. He is the editor of the Reagan Report. We're talking politics. So, Mike, next up is the presidential candidates debate. And let's talk about strategy for just a minute. If you were Rick Santorum, what would your strategy be in this upcoming debate?
The economy.
The economy?
The economy, stupid, in New Hampshire. That's what it is. The evangelical vote isn't that big there. The independent vote is huge in New Hampshire. So what do the independents want to hear? You know, you understand that the Tea Party was able to accomplish what they accomplished in the last election because they didn't get caught up in the social issues. I used to go out and I gave a lot of speeches on behalf of the Tea Party in the last election, and they would warn you, please don't talk about social issues. Stay on the economy. That's what brings us together. And Rick Santorum's got to say, hey, what brings everybody together here? What is the one issue that everybody can get behind and move forward? And that issue has to do with the economy, not so much the social issues. Social issues work in Iowa, do not work in New Hampshire. You got to think about those independents. Where are they going to go next Tuesday when they vote?
All right.
And they will run away from social issues and run to the economic issue.
And the economy is the weak link in the chain, and that is definitely where the current administration is vulnerable. But where is Santorum's economic policy? What is it going to be? Do you have any clue?
What you've got with the Santorum economic policy is not much different than the Newt Gingrich economic policy, the Rick Perry economic policy, the Mitt Romney economic policy, or, you know, lower taxes, lower corporate taxes, lower personal taxes, less regulation. And so everybody's kind of in the same mix at that point.
Mm.
And what hurts Santorum in New Hampshire is the fact that Rick Perry is still there, Gingrich is still there. So there, now you have the three conservatives, plus you have Huntsman, and you have Ron Paul. So take Ron Paul out of the equation because his people are his people. So you've got three conservatives, Huntsman, you know, conservative to moderate, who are going to be splitting the vote again, and Mitt Romney, who splits the vote with no one. That's why you see Huntsman going after Mitt Romney only, because he understands the dynamic of the percentages, that there's too many conservatives in this race for any of us to ultimately win. So the battle for conservatives is not going to be so much in New Hampshire, and certainly somebody should drop out after that.
Oh, sure.
The battle for conservatives is going to be in South Carolina. That's where the battle really is going to happen with conservatives. And whichever conservative goes wins there, meaning, you know, it comes in closest to Mitt Romney, goes on. The other two should go home.
All right, and that makes sense. My guest is Mike Reagan. So, Mike, let's talk about Newt Gingrich in this upcoming candidate debate. What should his strategy be?
Debate like you have always debated. You know, that's where his strength is. His strength is in debate. He's a genius when it comes to things. He's got a memory a mile and a half long. And stay on. You know, if I'm Newt Gingrich, here's basically my issue. I'm the guy who brought you the contract with America. We had not, in fact, controlled the Congress of the United States, we Republicans, in 50 years. I'm the guy who brought it to the forefront. I'm the guy that was there. And because of the contract with America, we elected 54 House seats, 12 governorships, including George W. Bush of Texas, 8 senators, including John Kyle of Arizona. We balanced the budget 4 times, and we reformed welfare. And I did that without a balanced budget amendment. I did it working with a Democrat in the White House. We need to work together if we're going to fix things. That's what I plan to do as President of the United States. Stay away from the judges. Stay away from all the other stuff that keeps on coming into his rhetoric, and stay on point. If he stays on point there, I think he ends up doing very well. If he gets off course again with judges, and I'm going to get rid of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and
right,
I bring judges in to testify before Congress, which is never going to happen. You know, and people forget that, okay, we pull judges in to testify because we don't like what they said. What do you think the Democrats are going to do next time they're in charge?
Exactly.
They're going to pull the conservatives in and say, well, I don't like what you said. And now we're not getting things done again.
That
he used to say, hey, I've worked together with Democrats. I worked with Bill Clinton, your iconic president I worked with. And look what we were able to do together. And that's what we need to do again. And I can, as President of the United States, stay on message.
All right. My guest is Mike Reagan.
By the way,
Also
wear a shirt and tie, okay?
All right. Fair enough.
Don't look like you've been a homeless guy and you just woke up for the debate.
That's very true. Well, let me ask you this, Mike. I'm going to change gears on you entirely. The 101st anniversary of your father's birth is February the 6th of 2012. Any special events planned for the anniversary? And if so, how can people partake in that to help sort of celebrate the 101st?
I don't know if there are so many during the 100th that went on. They can always check with the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. They can just Google that and find out if they're doing anything. They always do something on February 6th. At the library with a cake and, and what have you. And of course, people are having, you know, dinners around the country. They do the Lincoln-Reagan dinners or the Reagan-Lincoln dinners and so on and so forth. But I don't think there's anything special this year as there was during this 100th year celebration of his birth.
No, without a doubt. Mike, one last thing before we go, and I have to ask you because you are a political pundit. What concerns do you have about the GOP candidates spending too much time attacking each other and not differentiating themselves from President Obama?
Well, you know, this election has to be about Barack Obama. 1980, we won. We had a great guy who ran with Reagan, but the election was about Jimmy Carter. And we have to make this election about Barack Obama. If we make it about each other, then, in fact, we will lose. If this party is not united in November of this year, then we will lose the election. Remember what Ronald Reagan said. If you go to Simi Valley to his gravesite, you look at his gravesite, what is up there? He talks about finding the good. There is good in everybody. Find it. We need to find the good in each and every one of us. We find the good in our candidates instead of the negative. It's easy to find negative. Find the good. People want to feel good about America again. They want to feel positive about this country that we live in. That person who becomes our cheerleader, Ronald Reagan, when he died in 2004, was a cheerleader for America. We're lacking a cheerleader. When we find the cheerleader for America and starts cheering America, have the greatness of America moving forward as we do it together, that person can win the nomination of the party and win the presidency.
Wow. My guest has been Mike Reagan. Mike, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the Reagan Report, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Go to Reagan.com. Lots of great things coming about on Reagan.com. We'll have a big announcement coming out here in the next couple of weeks with what we're doing with Reagan.com. And go there and keep in touch.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.